Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Celtic Now and Forever podcast. My name is Ryan Clifford. This week we're joined by Robert Boyle again. Robert, how you doing, mate?
Aye, good, Ryan, yourself?
Aye, not bad, mate. Plodding away. Obviously, we're pre-reviewing the Hamilton game, the final victory at New Douglas Park. Well, it's a new name we've got now, but it's all changing all these stadium names. But obviously, good victory, Robert. Your first thoughts on the game?
Pleased with it, Ryan, considering the conditions. Thought we played with quite a high intensity. Thought everybody was involved was getting on the ball and moving it quickly, considering the park's terrible and the conditions were terrible. Could have been 4 or 5 or 6. Pleased for Griffiths and Edwards scoring and their partnership looking sharp again. Tumbo scored a goal again. Sorrell, good in the midfield. A lot of positives. Didn't really get troubled at the other end. So, another step in the right direction as far as I'm concerned.
I can agree with you when it comes to it was bad conditions. The plastic park's always a leveler. So, I think even a 1-0 victory, you would take it and just take the points considering the weather and obviously everything else, the hysteria about us having to win and stuff. So, I thought it was just good to get the win, but as you say, it could have been more than 3-0, 3-0 flat at Hamilton. I thought the first half was just they get battered, didn't they? There's a few wee slippy moments we beat on, or bitten, shall we say, whatever the commentator wants to say. But I thought the first half, it was nothing each, but it was going on 2, 3, 4. Hamilton were just penned in, and it's no nice to say, but I really hope they go down. Because they just didn't have any, I don't think for me, they'd a plan to actually win the game. As much as they're not expected to even get anything, they just looked like they were sitting duck every time we had the ball.
I agree with you on that. I think Hamilton's just a horrible, not a horrible team as such, but they're just, they don't offer anything, do they? Like, they've no fan base, they've got a plastic pitch, and they're no poison on the either. And I don't like their manager because their manager talks about Rangers. Oh, they're fantastic. Every time they play them, best team in the league, brilliant. Anytime we play them, oh, they were lucky to get a penalty or this or that.
Aye.
His comments are just snide. He's better just coming out with a Rangers scarf and tap one and just saying, look, I'm a hun. He'd be as well just saying that. Because that's all I get with him every time we see him. Last year, it was Rangers were absolutely fabulous. I thought it was Gerrard's interview. He said they were absolutely fabulous and what a team, and the way they moved the ball about, it's a team we aspire to be like. And I'm thinking, mate, you're not talking about Barcelona here, you're talking about Rangers who sat behind Celtic in the league. But he had all the praise for them and didn't ever really praise us as such. So I think the guys had a total win, it's just more or less no commit to it yet.
He's some of his comments, I agree with you, mate. To say that Rangers are batting, in the day, I know we're not here to talk about Rangers, but they've won fuck all in how many years. So if there's any team you want to aspire to, it's Celtic. I think if the way Celtic have been the last few years, any team should be aspiring. As much as we moan about the board, the model of the club's obviously working because we've won how many trebles in a row and trophies in a row. So the old chipper talks a lot of shite, in my opinion. But leave him for another day. Talk about Celtic. Obviously, the game... Robert, started with Tumbo and Sorrow again. I like to talk about the two because I thought the two are a breath of fresh air. They've been sitting on the bench for weeks and weeks when we've been absolutely horrendous. Nobody giving a chance. Now they're giving a chance. And it's very hard for me to know for them because I like they get the ball and they want to play forward all the time. But with Brown, as much as listen, me and you have spoken about Brown a lot and what he's done for the club, you can't fault him. He's just getting older and his game's getting to the stage where he's maybe not gone as forward. And I just think playing Sorrow and Tumbo, you're getting that forward pass all the time through to your Edward and Griffiths. So it's giving them more chances. I like you not playing well.
Aye, the two of them, Ryan, obviously the exact same as you're saying that. I like to see them in the team 3-4 weeks earlier because I could still say we'd be in the League Cup and I'd still say, no saying we'd be in the Europa League, but you'd have probably had a better chance of being done something in the Europa League. I don't think we would have took the two heavy defeats to Sparta Prague with him in the team just because they bring energy. Forward thinking, passing, youth into the team, and they're just they play with no fear, which is a breath of fresh air again. A lot of people probably feel a lot of pressure this year and probably overthink things like McDuffie and Brown at times, whereas they're just coming in and playing their game, which is great to see. The two of them go to stay in the team, doesn't he? Barring any injury, I wouldn't even say none of them have had a bad game yet if they've come into the team, in my opinion. I really like the two of them. I think the two of them make us score more goals, more forwards thinking. It's been a breath of fresh air, as you say.
I definitely agree with you because every time I watch a game, I think Tumbles. Yeah, it's just brilliant to see different types of players playing because we're used to obviously Bidden and Charm, McGregor and Brown. We all know that doesn't work. And I think Lennon realises that now that it's no worked. It's no worked for the last few games, no worked for the last few months. Didn't really work last year in the big games when they played. So I just kind of see day two. Obviously, Wednesday, I think it's United, they might change formation just to give guys a bit of game time before the Rangers game. But I don't know. They don't deserve to go. As you say, barring injury, I don't see why they should get took out. But again, I think, obviously, you've United coming up, but I think Brown will come in against Rangers. I don't think he should, but I just think I've got a feeling Lennon will, just as Axiom had done against the European when they put him back in. But I think
the cup final, right?
Aye, when they put Brown back in, sorry. I don't agree with taking the tournament now. As much as we've got Cham, Brown, Rogic, they've had their spell on the team and they've not been playing well. So for me, I think they two just play them again on Wednesday, just keep playing them. Because the more they play, the more they'll get used to the way we play, the way the team plays. And I think they'll just get better and better.
We've had 3 clean sheets now in the last 3 games in the league, which has been a breath of fresh air again. I think Taylor's come in and made a difference defensively. Because Laxell, I don't know if he's defending or he's a bit like ping pong that way. He's high up to attack, but he's forgetting a wee bit about the defensive side of things. And I think Taylor's no great going forward, but defensively he's very sound. And probably that's Lennon's thinking bringing him back into the team. He's got his decisions right. I still don't agree with the diamond. I just don't think it gives you enough width. In my own opinion, that is. I think it can be a bit congested, and I just feel you need natural width. All right, Frimpong's been quite impressive the last few games. He's setting up goals and stuff, and I think his crossing's been a lot better. But I'm pleased with how it's going. I don't want to get too carried away with it because, again, it's only one step at a time. And we're going to the Dundee United game and just hope for another positive result and hopefully a clean sheet.
Because what you were saying about the diamond, I'm a big believer where you're at, mate. I don't agree with diamonds, especially. Obviously, for me, they're suited to certain games and they're not suited when you're playing against fucking St Mirren and Ross County and Hamilton. Their game, you should be gone just 4-4-2 or whatever it is with 2 wingers, 2 up front and just gone for the game. I thought the only thing about, I was maybe a criticism I would say for the Hamilton game with the first half is I think Lennon still, he's I don't want to say that he's not got a clue, but I would still say we've got the players, but we're maybe just no coach properly. I just think that it was waiting. It was kind of waiting for somebody to do something. Like, he wait for them to get the goal. And I just feel we need to maybe work on a few things to get the goals to come instead of having to wait on, like, your Griffiths as well to do something special and get a goal.
It's just, I just thought we played better as a team against Hamilton. I thought Griffiths and Edwards' link-up play was good. Tumbo and that, we threw balls and stuff. Ring pong on the right, but we didn't really have much on the left. Again, Taylor's more a defensive defender, so you can't expect him to come bombing forward to put crosses in, because it's just not his game. And I felt against Hamilton, you could have played with a Mikey Johnson or somebody that's going to get down the wings and get running at him, because again, as you say, it's like a flat five or something they had at the back with four in midfield and one up front, and it's just, they didn't offer much, did they? Let's be honest. They were just more or less firing into tackles and trying to be compact and not really concede many goals. But Griffiths could have scored a hat-trick. And if that's him unfit and he could have scored a hat-trick, I'd like to see when he gets the match sharpness. Because, let's be honest, the guys, he's the most lethal striker we've got. And I read a start the day that in Griffiths' full-time at Celtic, he's been involved or scored a goal every 82 minutes, which is very impressive. I think that's about 200 odd games. And to me, you've just got to keep the wee guy in the right road and get him in the team. He'll score you goals all day long. And him and Edward could be the key to us going on a run and making a challenge and going for this title. I just feel you need to keep the two of them fit and firing in all cylinders. I think that's the key to it.
I definitely agree with you, because see, even last season, when obviously before COVID can interrupt the season, Griffiths and Edward up front, they were lightning. It was brilliant. We were getting three and four goals every game, and I think we've got to do it for now on now. Obviously, bad injury. The only way Griffiths is going to get fit and score goals is by playing. Then there is strat him out for a game, back in a game. As much as I was a fan of Ayeti and Kamara, he'll obviously be disappointed no maybe getting game time, but for me it's not about game time now. They just got to play Ray too. It's just funny that Edward's getting fit now when the fucking windy's about to open, isn't it?
That's the best game I've seen him this season. It was decent against AC Milan, but his all round performance, I thought that was his best game. I just thought he was covering everything he'd done. His movement, his link-up play and stuff. He just looked back to the old Edward. So I'm just hoping he just carries on for us.
If we get any chance, as you said, for putting a wee run together, they two have got to be up front. It's got to be two up front. Any of this reverting to one up top at home and be two wingers to support, just play 4-4-2. It's probably the easiest formation to play, and it's the easiest to get right, especially when because we have got the players to do it. If it is playing Christie out wide, which is, for me, is the most infuriating player I've ever seen at Celtic, he's just so infuriating. One minute he'll do something magical, and then next minute he's hitting 40 yarders. He's hitting 40 yarders at the bar, and his ball's no hitting the first man, which for me does my fucking box in. At any level of football, if you can't hit a ball past the first man, it's a no-go. I don't know why they consist in putting him on free kicks and corners when he can't hit them.
I think sometimes with Christie's problem is he tries to look for a 25-yard pass rather than a 5-yard pass. He tries to do a flick rather than just drifting inside. It's just, he tries to do the most difficult things, and when it comes off, it's brilliant to watch, but 8 times out of 10, it doesn't come off. And outright, you can just see he doesn't like playing outright, right? Because he always wants to drift inside, which narrows the park. That's all right with Frimpong going up the line, but you're just then getting into congestion in there. It's not often, well, you scored a couple of cracking goals for that coming in after right, but teams will be wise to that, you know. You know what I mean? Him coming after right to try and score goals. So it's good with energy and all that, but I don't know. It's like 30 foot. triangles into squares in it sometimes, just to get players playing.
Aye.
It's just sometimes it's just as if he's just trying to accommodate people to get them on the park.
See, I think he's been doing that all season. Even though when we were going through a bad spell, I thought he was still playing Brown, he was still playing Rogic, he was still playing Ncham, he was still playing guys who were kind of, I don't want to say Brown was maybe letting down, but guys weren't really fanning all cylinders, but yet he kept playing them. I don't know if that was a, if it was just doing that.
Number 10, that's his favourite position, isn't it?
Who, so, Ncham?
No, that's Rogic. Christy.
Aye, Christy. Yeah.
Christy, obviously number 10 role, but can't always play there because Tumbles came in and done exactly what's been asked him. Scored goals and assisted in goals, so it's just, he probably wants a way in on it. It's all this talk in it, and he wants to go away, so I don't know, but he's doing all right, you know. It's hard to criticise him, innit? Because they've won the last 3 games and they've had 3 clean sheets.
Aye, so, that's... If you maybe criticise,
maybe...
I know. See, people might listen to the podcast and maybe see my views on Twitter, but they might think I'm being critical. I'm being critical because we're used to seeing the standards of what the players have done. And you maybe forget they're human and they can go through bad spells, but bad spells isn't the 13, 14 games. That's either you're no at it or you're no want to be here, or You can have 2 or 3 bad games. Look, I've had bad games myself when I played. Obviously yourself, you know, you always know when you've not had a good game. So, when it comes to that, I think you've just got to play. Just stick to your 4-4-2. Just stick, if it is Christy at wide, play him at wide. If it is a 10, but as you say, it's Tumble. For me, his goal kind of paralysed everything about him. He's in the box, that's where he should be, and that's where who my feelers haven't been the last few weeks. There's not been the hunger to get goals, and he was there. Aye. He was there, right time, right place. And then obviously they'll go the link up for Edouard and Griffiths. That for me is brilliant. I don't think that's getting looked at again how good a goal it was. It was brilliant feat for Edouard and the link-up play.
It was a cracking goal.
It was brilliant. It's stuff I think we will see more often with A2 up front, because you can definitely see they've got a connection up front. You can see it. As soon as Edouard or Griffiths get the ball, they'll link each other, and that's the way partnerships should be, and I think it's the only way forward. Getting to Wednesday, and obviously Ibrox came up. I think the A2 have got
to play. I think it'll be a tough game on Wednesday. Dundee United, just stubborn, aren't they? But we just need to do what we've been doing and try and get the result. They've been lucky the last couple of games. They've scored 290th minute equalisers. So we just need to be wary of that. If we're only 1-0, that they're a threat on the break. Mm-hmm. So the goalkeeper's quite decent, aren't they? Seagrass, he's a decent big keeper. So I think we just need to try and get that game put to bed and move on to Saturday. And then just go for there. That's the way I feel.
I think there's been talk about us signing him, isn't there? I suppose it would be for a few
scouts. I've heard that. I've worked that in work, actually. I hadn't seen it, but that's obviously rumours. Aye. Decent big keeper. He's all right, but again, is he just a Dundee United keeper? And that's his level? We don't know. Well, I suppose it can't be worse than being in Barcast, isn't it?
Well, again, if you send in our goalkeeper, which we obviously know the recruitment's failed in that so far, again, I'm wanting to give Barkas maybe another year or two to get used to us. And I think, again, it's probably because of hysteria at 10 in a row that we're no happy with him because he's no come in and done well right away. But if we send in our
goalkeeper, guy pulling off any saves, Ryan, to be honest, you're cut a wee daft ones against Ross County away, but your goalkeeper should at least be making saves.
Mm-hmm.
Every shot seems to go by him. I've no confidence in the guy, and I think that's, I don't want to sound dead critical of him, but as a goalkeeper, you can have goalkeepers that are only playing well, but are still making short saves. To me, he doesn't make saves. He just looks a guy. It's just might be lacking confidence, might not have settled in the country. I don't know, but to me, a goalkeeper's got to be a strong person. You've got to be mentally strong. And you've got to make saves, and to me, he's not done it. I've not seen any attributes of him that I say it's good. It's not like he's brilliant with the ball at his feet and great at kicking it. To me, whoever scouted him has made an absolute arse of it, in my opinion. That's just my opinion on it. I don't see it. I think the big boy that's come in now, Conor Hazard, looks more accomplished than the other two that's been in. Just, I think the defence are more confident with him behind them, and that's just in my opinion again. But I would like to see him come good, but sometimes you can just have a vibe with something. It's just, that's my opinion on it. As I say, I don't wish the guy not to be good, but I've yet to see anything in him that says to me he could be a good goalie. But we're not the only ones that have done mistakes in goalkeepers. Chelsea signed a boy at 72 million and he might have been absolutely red rotten.
That Tepper's not the best. I think down there, but they bought that guy Mendy and all, didn't they? So that's kind of proves that the recruitment business well. So it just proves that teams, they make mistakes. And so I think, but again, to keep it United, just maybe saying, because remember we signed Sivski and he scored about 15 goals for United and he came to us and he was a fucking donkey. So again, as it were, Abrams, you do sign him and he comes to us and then he makes a boobie again. So by a while, can I touch on the Hamilton game again about kind of beat on? For me, as much as he's been decent in certain games at centre back, I thought he was maybe the only maybe performance I thought he was a wee bit dodgy at the back. I thought he was actually maybe lucky to be on the park in the first half. But that
he
won.
Done much on it, Ryan. I think your boy made merry at then.
When it was?
A tangle of legs in it, wasn't he? It wasn't as if he was malicious or anything like that. He didn't try and swipe his legs or anything. The boys fell. It was pathetic, to be honest with you. But I suppose that's a modern football on it for you. As soon as one touch goes on, you just hit the deck. I think the boys tried to get him saying that, if that's what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
But he switches off a wee bit too much at the back, beat on. If he's no in the game, like defending all game, he can switch off. But if he's normally up against it, he's tight, decent, but they've got to remember he's not a centre-back. He's a defensive midfielder, so it was good. He's a good player to have around the club, I would say, to bring in to do the job when if Duffy's injured or Julian's injured in that.
But I definitely I'd agree with you when he's a good player about the club. I do like him at centre-mid. I think he's very calm the ball and I do like him centre mid because every game I've seen him play for Israel, he's been brilliant. And I was like my dad as well, watching Israel play. I think it was a game against Scotland when it was him and El Hamid at the back. And I was like, see, if you didn't know they two were Celtic players, you would be saying sign they two because they were calm, very, very good. And I think that was the exact same game where that guy you were talking about, the right back, played really well. Maybe the only wee thing I can maybe say about the game is do you play him going on further at centre back? But again, he's good for cover. But I just think again, the Hamilton game was just good to get the 3 points, obviously, considering the weather and obviously Edouard's penalty as well was brilliant. As soon as he steps up to a penalty, you kind of just think it's a goal. You're kind of already celebrating before he's even put the ball in the back of the net.
He's a good penalty taker, aye. He is. He's got that about him, but I just want to be more ruthless, if you know what I mean. I want him to score more goals because as I start saying that he's not scored that open goal for the first game of the season.
I seen that all day, aye. I seen that.
In the league, which is quite scary. So you need him maybe to score a goal or two against Dundee United. His confidence to be high for going into Saturday. But that will come because that was the best game I've seen him play. He looked up for it. Didn't he look sluggish or anything? But we don't know what COVID's done to players as well. We need to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know the effects of COVID on guys, on football players. It might be still just draining on them. It might, like, obviously the bug's still in them or whatever. just slightly, so we don't know that side yet, but it looks as if he's getting back to his best, and you've got to remember Thumble had it as well, so you just need to remember that players have had COVID and stuff like that. It's not as if they're underperforming for no reason at all, you know what I mean? Obviously Thumble's been good for you, came in and the team, but Big Edward, it might have affected them, because my missus is a nurse and she says that black jeans, COVID's affecting them a lot more than white people's, something to do with their jeans, because nurses in her work are getting the COVID vaccine before the white people. So I'm not saying that's anything to do with it, but it might be something along the lines why it's affected them.
Because does it hang? There's two Newcastle players are still kind of really affected by it now. I think I've seen that the other day. I don't know if it's Longstaff and St Maximan or something. I don't know if it is there too, but I think it's definitely the guy Maximan. He's kind of struggling now with it. And again, they're full-time football players and they're athletes, so they're kind of struggling for it. So again, with Edward, just talking about Edward, he went to France, he got injured, he was not really fit, COVID. So again, he's not really had a full... He's not had a full few weeks training and blah blah blah. Aye. So again, let's be honest, anything that could go wrong this season, the start of the season, has went wrong. We've had the COVID, which is unfortunate. That's nothing you can really, it's not really anybody's fault. But then you've had injuries and team not playing well, managers not really knowing his team, the recruitment's not, everything that could have went badly has went badly. I think because we're going for 10, it's totally... I don't want to say you're forgetting about the COVID, but you've kind of forgot about the surrounding and you're just thinking about why is he not playing well, why is this not happening? Everything is just all...
Hysteria, isn't it?
It is a hysteria. It's a word we keep using, but it is. If this was going for 2 in a row, you wouldn't be slotting Barkas totally out. Obviously, you'd be getting him a bit of jet, but you wouldn't be going, it's a fucking disgrace. He's come in and no... But because we're going for this, let's be honest, it's a pinnacle of a lot of Celtic fans kind of been watching Celtic. So it's, you want everything to go right and everything that could have went wrong is fucking went wrong, innit?
We've just got to remember as well that nobody can be in the stadium and go to the games. So a lot of frustration is already inside you.
Mm-hmm.
So when everything else is happening, people are just frustrated, can't go. Some people have lost jobs, some people are struggling with money. So a lot of frustration is already built up in people. People can't see their mates. People might have mental health issues. So I don't think social media helps a lot of this. I think social media sends people into an absolute crazy mode. And sometimes you read into it and it makes you think along their lines with things, rather than just taking a step back and going, right, hold on a minute, I'll have my own thoughts. And I'll think about it myself, but it's a social media driven world we live in now, and especially in COVID times where nobody can do anything else but go on social media and vent their anger and say things that can twist a lot of people's minds. So I think we just need to keep doing what we're doing on the park, and hopefully everybody's singing off the same hymn sheet and we just do that's right going forward, and the board back going in January, because I think we should be doing with two or three players to really push his own in January.
Because obviously, you were talking about obviously the fans can't get in the stadium. I think it was Gary Holt, the old Livingston manager, done a wee article. I don't know if you read it or heard about it, but he basically says, I've been in both stadiums as a manager and blah, blah, blah. He says, in my opinion, that Rangers are a bit ahead on us because there's no fans. He says, because when Celtic go behind, Celtic, this is his words, this isn't me just making sure. In his words, he basically says that when Celtic go behind, the fans back them, they sing, they encourage. He says, but Rangers, when they go behind, they basically totally go off and not with the players. And he says, that's why maybe Tavernier's having a very good season. I'm no doubting the guy's good going forward, because he is, but he can't defend. We've seen it, and if you look at the few of the old firm games we've won, how many mistakes he makes. It's all doing his side.
Yeah.
So I agree with Gary Holt in a sense, because as the same for everybody, but if you're used to having 60,000 fans in your back, it's taking that away as a lot.
It probably gives you 3 or 4 inches in your head, you know what I mean? Like, you feel, as I say, no 3 or 4 inches, 10 feet taller than the back of the fans, and gives you that wee bit of energy, the extra 10% energy that you didn't think you had, just because they're behind you and supporting you. It's mentally affecting you, obviously, but everybody's in the same boat, so we can't use it as any excuse. We just need to go on with it in that sense. No doubt the boys or the Green Brigade will be doing a thing, go to the hotel before they go to Ibrox and supporting them that way, and just to let them know that the fans are still there. The Green Brigade's been brilliant in this. I don't think we give them enough mention and try to support the team and help us, obviously. They had the issues down at Celtic Park, but we'll not talk about that because that's just obviously everybody's opinion's different on that one. But I thought they were brilliant setting the fireworks off after we won the cup final on that over at Hampden. I and the Celtic fans will always be there to support the team, but I just think now and again we just need to remind the players that we're still there to support them, and I think the fans will do that before they go on Saturday to Ibrox.
Aye, definitely. They do need a good bit of mention because, again, they do a lot for the club, not just outside as in the fans. They do a lot for homeless and of everything else. So they do need a bit of credit for that because the players do need to know that the fans are still here. The fans are still, even if there's already protests, which we don't want to really talk about, that's today with the board. Not to do with the players. The fans are still here for the players, and as you say, fans will always pay their money because you love the team, and you see in the day, as much as I'm 27 now, Scott Brown and Edouard, they're still my idols. Do you know what I mean? You still look at them and you're like, fuck. No, I mean, you walk past them in the street and you'd be scared to talk to them. You're like, that's my hero. Do you know what I mean? That's just the way fans are. You always pay your money. You'll always be there. Because maybe I'm doing podcasts and I'm maybe more critical than what I should be, and because you're used to winning 3-4-0, but we all know that you've got no divine right to win football games, as we've seen this season. I think maybe that's maybe a fault of Lennon, that he was maybe expecting just to turn up with these players and think we can win every game and we can. It's good and a positive note that now we've got clean sheets now, we're starting to score a bit of goals. As maybe, I don't know if you've seen the other day with Hartson and Sutton. Did you watch that bit? Basically, Hartson kind of basically shut down Boyd, because Boyd was saying that, Hartson was saying, we've had a few clean sheets now with Ross County, Kilmarnock, blah, blah, blah. And Chris Boyd basically says, but Ross County, Kilmarnock have scored 15 goals between them all season. And then he says, but we scored 8 against the Rangers. And Hartson says, against who? Oh, it's only Hamilton. Because he said, I've just only beat Hamilton. And he basically just shot Boyd, basically saying, listen, doesn't matter who you're playing against. You've got to win. If it is 8-0 or 1-0, if you keep a clean sheet, it doesn't matter.
Just He's
a pure cheerleader for him, isn't he?
That's what
he's
trying to be.
But the thing is with Sutton, Sutton's, people don't like Sutton because he tells the truth. He's a big advocate for Celtic, but see, when I think we spoke about before, when Dyer was here, he slaughtered Celtic. He slaughtered Dyer. So Sutton's no scared to, the last few weeks he has spoke his mind, basically saying this is the guy's not good enough, he's got to get took out of the team. So people don't like Sutton. Sutton does it because he knows that it rifles people up, but he's telling the truth. And that people don't like that.
I think a lot of Celtic fans hate any pundit that slags Celtic. the guys are paid to give an opinion, and it's all about opinions, alright. Some of them are over the top with Charlie Nicholas and Randy Walkers are just fucking Celtic cunts, as we already know. But guys are paid to give an opinion, and they're not always going to just put green tinted glasses on and say, Celtic are brilliant. And Celtic shite is Celtic shite. You've just got to tell the truth on it. Mm-hmm. And some people can't take that. But to be honest, yeah, you've just got to take it good with the bad. We don't all agree with everybody's opinions. That's what life's all about.
That's why we like football, but aren't it? It's all about opinions.
Yeah.
Again, like, yeah. I can say something and you don't agree with it, but it's good to talk about, and that's why we all love football, because everybody's got something to say about it, even if it's right or wrong. And, but as I know, we're criticising formations. We're saying the Diamond's no right, but we could play it in Ibrox and we win the game 3-0 and eggs in our face. But By the outset, for me, I don't like it. So I didn't like it when I played football. I don't like watching it because I just don't like it. That's a simple fact. I think we just need to play 4-4-2. And then, obviously, game on Wednesday. Just need to get a win, didn't we? I don't think it really matters the scoreline, really. As long as we get the 3 points, it's the main thing. Would you change anything yourself, Robert, or would you just go by the same team and just try and get a bit of momentum going?
I would change probably no the person. You would need to change the personnel. To me, he'll no change it because he's had 3 clean sheets and 3 wins. It's as simple as that. He's going to tell him, say, what's the point in changing a winning team? He's been carrying it for... He'll change Julian at the back, I think, if he's fit. Mm-hmm. For Beaton, but I don't think he'll change much more. I think he's trying to build. He always changes the team. What am I talking about? He always changes the team. He always makes 2 or 3 changes. But I think he'll keep the Diamond the same with the same players in it, because I think he thinks that's working. I think he'll probably keep Taylor, change Julian, Ayer, Frimpong right back, and the 2 up front. So and the goalkeeper. And I think if you win on Wednesday, he'll just go with that same team going into Saturday. But if he does that, what he'll need to do at Ibrox, in my own opinion, is you'll kind of how would I go about it, right? I would go with the young goalkeeper, but people might not agree on, but that's just what I would go with. I'd go Taylor left back, Laxalt left mid, just because you've got then the defensive side of it, if they're attacking, that they too can defend. On the right, I'd go Duffy, Julian as your 2 centre-halves, if they're fit. I would go Ayer and Frimpong again. It's for the defensive side of things that keeps it tight.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would play Sorrow, McGregor in the hole, in front. And then you would go Griffiths just slightly behind Edward, in my opinion, but I'm not a manager. I would just try and keep it. You've got an attacking sense, but when you're in a defensive shape, you're very hard to break down, and you can't let them get to the wing because you've got 2 defensive whites on the 2 sides that will be hard for them to get done. But you need to, in that sense, you need to press Davis. Everything comes through Davis in the middle of the park. He gets one mm-hmm. more in the middle of the park. And Barisic and Tavernier are your wingers, but the front three will press you dead high. Sometimes I think just a wee dink up to Edward for him to hold it, rather than try to get through the press. You know what I mean? Or down the channels, Edward down the channels, just to dink it into the channels. You'll get joy on them, but we'll just need to get through Dundee United before we get to that. I don't know how we would set up against them, really. But you've got to stop the wing-backs from going forward, and Davis getting on the ball in the middle of the park. That's between the A3. If you stop A3, they'll no have a plan B yet. You see that with Rangers, they haven't got a plan B. It's just whether we're good enough to set up to stop that. How would you set up yourself going into that game, Ryan?
See, I generally, this is probably the first Old Firm game where I really don't know who I would play. Because obviously you're saying we've team midfield, but sorry with McGregor and Sorrow, but then the only thing, as much as I'm saying we can't play a Diamond, see if fit Tumble, Sorrow, McGregor in, you might need to play a Diamond.
Why don't you go a flat three with A3, matching their 3 in midfield?
Aye. Why just for a 4-3-3?
and just go matching up.
Aye, you could do that, aye. But see, that's what we were talking about before we came on. If you do that, then do you leave your two fullbacks isolated? But their fullbacks, it's so hard to, isn't it? It's fucking. I'm actually glad I'm not the manager, because
what? Since you go two up front against them, will Gerrard have the balls to go gung ho with the fullbacks? Will he got exposed two on two at the back? Or will he have to bring Davis further deeper in to cover that? Or Kamara in deeper to cover that?
Aye. Because I do agree with you when I know we've got to get past United first, and obviously I will go into Top of the Rangers on our podcast if United game, but it's very hard to look.
No talk about it.
Aye. I will actually sit down and kind of look and try and hang him the team that I think. Because again, it's all about opinions, isn't it? So we've all got opinions about formation, team lineup, but obviously,
we need to have guys that's brave on the ball. We need to get guys that's taking the ball half turn, what your sorrow and tumble's been doing, and brave on it. And see if you can get by Rangers high press. Rangers high press, you're right, like the front three and then the three in midfield. I watched Hibs staying it against him. See if you've got a guy with confidence, Joe Neal kept doing it in the midfield. He gets the ball, and see if you can ride the first tackle or the second tackle, take it half turn and spin. You're running at their defence, and you've got them opened up. Just a few times, Hibs picked the wrong pass. Nisbet tried to cut inside, he tried to put it wide to him. Boyle tried to do it, and I thought, and a better team with better players could have carved them open. You've got to move the ball. Celtic have got to get the ball quick and move it wide quick. See when you do that? And you get across, because the middle three come across in a line. See if you can do that and move that ball quicker. It's a big part to open up. You need to move that ball with quickness. And then you're exposing one-on-one with our fullbacks, which are the greatest at defending, especially Tavernier. And you've got to whip Boz early into the box, because Goldson's not that the greatest at defending. He's all right attacking in the other box, but defensively, he's still got frailties, in my opinion.
See, like, you're talking about finding crosses and running defenders. I agree with you. And I think we've got to... I thought the play was a bit quicker. I know you're playing against Hamilton, but I think each game now, I think the players are adjusting to new fans, and I think the play's getting a bit quicker now. When it comes to Wednesday, just start doing what you're going to do against Rangers. Go to full-backs, get coaches in, get the link-up play with Griffiths and Edouard, just talk. Because we know United are going to be stuffy. They're going to just camp the defence, just play, basically park the bus, try and get a counter-attack with Shankland or Minotti up front. That's the way they play. Yeah. I think when I watched them against Rangers, the defender played really well. I think the guy Conley, he was the guy who cleared Everton. Aye, he tackled Everton. He done well against Rangers, to be fair. He was cutting Everton and tackling Everton. So again, if you want it, I'm a big believer. When I played football, I had a bit of pace, right? I might have not used it to run at defenders, but if you've got pace and run defenders, defenders fucking hate it. They don't like being on the half turn, as you say.
Lindholm's been putting good balls out recently, I think. He's been taking his time, he's close, and he's not just trying to fire balls in. I've noticed he's set up a couple of goals in the last few games, and maybe he's just taking that wee extra second to find somebody rather than just whipping balls across, which I'm hoping that's what he's starting to realise.
I just hope that, obviously, we scored three against Hamilton. You just try and get a few goals in United, just get the first one and get as comfortable. Because I thought that before we, obviously, you knew we were going to win the game because how many chances we were getting. But the first goal against Hamilton calmed us right down. And I think we need that again in United. Just get the first goal and just settle into the game. Because it will be a stuffy game. I think it will be a tough game. I think every game for us now is tough because we're going through a wee spell of getting back into playing again and getting guys fit, getting guys playing again. So I just think, as much as we're really looking forward to the Rangers game, and I just 3 points in it against United, but we need to get the 3 points first.
We need to ahead ourselves, I suppose,
in it,
but it's hard not to.
Because as we were talking about, we are just the way it's going now, we are one game away for disaster. And if we drop points on Wednesday, that's a disaster started before the Rangers game. So I would just play the same team roughly as Hamilton and just get the my ideal situation would be get the game done. Yeah, maybe 60 minutes if it's 2-0 and get guys game time if it is Kamara, get the guys who are going to play Saturday, get them off. Just try and get the game. Obviously it's easier said than done. It's football, anything can happen. If it is 2-0, get a lead and take Edouard half a half time, 2-0 up there. Just try and get the game won as quick as possible and then keep guys fresh for Saturday. But obviously, first and foremost, win the game and get his 3 points in the bag.
Aye, spot on everything you said there. Everything I was thinking was the exact same, as try and get early goals, get the game to bed and getting your key players off and maybe getting squad players are on it. And you don't know, one of your squad players could come in and score a couple of goals that puts them in contention for the Rangers game. Surely as a team now, you've got to be thriving and looking forward to the games as a squad. We've got to just kick on and be ready to give us our best shot to win this title. So to go out and try and get an early marker down against Dundee United and then look forward to Saturday and we'll pick up any injuries, that's all we're looking for really, isn't it?
Aye, and I think definitely stick with this 4-4-2. I think if we just stick with that, I think just maybe the same game plan as Hamilton, just go out and just bombard it, because I thought the first 10, 15 minutes Hamilton were just hemmed in. I was texting a few boys watching, I was like, boys, we're just going to, a goal's coming, it's coming, because and I think United will be the same, because it's obviously, it's at Parkhead. I think most teams now, I know teams haven't really been feeling us the last few weeks, but I think teams now might just start getting hemmed in now, because we're starting to get a bit of momentum, we're getting clean sheets, we're scoring a few goals. I just hope we just, first whistle, just bombard them and just hound them and just hopefully the goals come. And as you say, we do get a few early goals and can swap guys about and just kind of keep them fresh for the game against Rangers.
Yeah, that's it. It's trying to get through the game without any injuries and a result. But we're kind of coming through this period now, getting away from injuries, hopefully, because we've had all the injuries in the COVID. So I would like to see how they would cope with a few injuries in a COVID cases, because they've had fucking everything that's gone right went right for them so far. But they've got a tough game against St Mirren Wednesday. So, what's to say they might drop points at St Mirren? You never know.
See, as we were saying, if they did drop points and we win, and then see if we did draw Ibrox or we did get a victory, then for me, the momentum's swinging. As you say, Rangers haven't won a trophy in how long, so for me,
they've not had any pressure this season, right?
No, we all know, life in general, we all know in a few years' time, Rangers will come strong again and they might win the league. That's just life, things happen. Celtic will lose, Rangers win, blah blah blah. But for me, I still think that we've still to play. We're only starting to get our team, our formation properly, blah, blah, blah. Guys getting back fit. We've not had a settled team as due to COVID and injuries. And as you say, everything that's went wrong for us went wrong and has went wrong. And everything that could go right for Ames went right. Which is just, that's just life. It's just, but I just think that if we win on Wednesday and hopefully St Mirren maybe does a wee turn, things could, as you say, mentality again, the mindset might go fuck against St Mirren twice, fuck. No, stuff could, I've seen strange things happen. I just, inside your heart, you're like, fuck, nah, St Mirren might get a draw. It's just your Celtic heart thinking, hopefully they'll be turning it.
Aye, that's it. But if we take care of your business, then that's all we can ask for, you know what I mean? It's up to us to do what we need to do, win the park. If we do everything right, what we need to do, then and go on a winning run. I just feel they've just not had any pressure yet. They've just kind of, they're about their business, they've had extra games that we've not been able to play, and everything's been smooth sailing for them. Let's see how they'll deal with a bit of pressure and a couple of injuries. Let's
and
see.
The, And it helps when the referees don't give him penalties, that. Other teams penalties. Again, we don't want to come on and talk about referees because they've got hard enough jobs as it is, but all the pundits are all saying, and I've seen it, it was
Hampshire got a penalty. Why can't give every penalty, every opportunity, man? Why can't, is one of the guys, as soon as something happens to a book, bang, straight away, penalty. Why do they not give that penalty? I mean, because last season, Wally Colm gave something against Rangers and they went to SAFA and refereed another game for them for 5-6 weeks. You know what I mean? So, is it he's shot himself because they put pressure on him the last team?
I know. It's, we don't want anyone about referees, but it's when it's cynical, when guys are getting kicked and guys are tripping the box, and it's everybody on Twitter's talking about it, and then, but yet, it's no. So, again, there's a people are advocates for VAR. I don't want VAR because for me, it just totally ruins the game. It takes it for me. It's basically taking the referee job off him. So the referee's out of their job, and that's his. Football's changing for when I played.
They're not using VAR, right, Ryan?
No.
A team should have one challenge each in a game. No, when fucking every decision that's happened, the ball up to a goal could get way back to a goal kick because somebody was standing in an offside position. You know what I mean? It's pathetic, mate. It goes away back to, they're taking it away back further than it actually should.
I know.
Two teams should have one decision each in a game, and that sort should be allowed. But they're then going, oh, his foot was there, the lineman, he took your throw in. You know what I mean? Just pathetic things. Or he never flung the ball behind his head fully. He took a shy. It was a full shy. It pulled up to a goal. And you know what I'm talking about? It's like his shoelace, he was just in front of his shoelace. So he's marginally offside with fucking a wee tiny bit. It's pathetic, mate. VAR down in England just destroys football.
I know.
Too many. I mean, nobody can celebrate a goal. No, because they need to wait till VAR checks it to make sure it's fine. So you could celebrating a goal and 2 minutes later couldn't be a goal. You know what I mean? So it's just stupid.
It's just tough.
In tennis, now they've got it right. They get a couple of challenges each and a set. In football, one challenge each and that's it. Unless it's a shot for 30 yards that hits the underside of the bar and bounces the other line that way. What they've done in the cup final with Hearts, won the watch, bang, it was a goal. That's it. And one challenge each per team, that's only in my opinion, because you kind of keep going, but VAR.
And see how you're still talking about with the cup final? That's the first I've ever seen goal technology used at Hampden, my puff. I didn't know we had goal.
It was settings.
I didn't know we had goaling technology at Hampden. I don't know if that's because it was a cup final.
I think that was the first time it's been used.
Was it?
And if that's what's needed in football, then I do the goal line technology.
I don't mind the goal technology, but VAR for me, I would have hated it if I was playing. But as you say, you can't go and score. You score a goal and you're looking about like, can I go have my teammate now?
It's pathetic.
But we have topic anyway, but we'll just kind of end it there, mate. Again, good to chat to you about the game of the weekend. United and West, hopefully get 3 points and lean on the game against that mob on Saturday. We'll do a wee preview on it during the week. But thanks for your time again, Robert, and that's us this week in the Celtic Now and for our podcast. Cheers, Robert. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Ryan. Cheers. Bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
To fly.